Take your Bibles this morning and turn with us to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 27. Read one verse, Proverbs 15, verse 27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the privilege to look into your word together, and we thank you, Lord, that on subjects that are so prevalent today that you always have something to say about that. And we can always count on you, Lord, to straighten us out when we have drifted away and we're committing sins. And one of the sins of the heart is what we're going to speak about today, and I ask that you give clarity of thought. And may we understand, and may, if it is applied to our lives, Lord, I pray that you might make that clear to us. Speak to your people because you love us. Correct us where you need to correct us. Give enablement to bring the message. And if there's someone here today who has never trusted Jesus, may today be the day of salvation and faith in you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we want to consider the sin of greed. The sin of greed. Greed is defined in the dictionary this way: selfish and grasping desire for possessions, especially of wealth, avarice, covetousness. As we said last week, selfishness is the father or the root of all sins. And so it is with greed. Even the definition says it: selfish desire for possessions. Greed is covetousness and is found in the 10th commandment of the Bible in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. I'd like to read that to you, Exodus chapter 20. Verse 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. People have been breaking this commandment since the beginning of time. Many want as their own somebody else's house, somebody else's wife, somebody else's servant, somebody else's ox, and today that would be tractor, and I have one, by the way, Brother Ed. Or somebody else's donkey, and that would be equivalent to our car today. Or somebody else's things. Then greed is not satisfied because it then wants more. Greedy people are not satisfied when their needs are met, but they're willing to they want to get more, and they're willing even to hurt somebody else to get it. They're willing to take somebody else's possession to get it. They just want more and more and more. It's covetousness. It's greed. God said in the Old Testament that Israel got to the place where they were not interested in the Word of God, and they were desiring things above all else. They just wanted more things. I want to read that to you in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 10. It says this: To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. In other words, they don't like the word. They have no delight in it. And then verse 13 says this. It says, For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them. So greed is not just for people with money, a lot of money. It's for people maybe who don't have any. They just want. And so you don't have to have a lot to be greedy. You can have a little or you can have a lot. So it says, from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. And Jeremiah 8, verse 10 says the same thing. For everyone from the least, even of the greatest, is given to covetousness. In the New Testament, God said the same of the godless world in which we live. We find it in the book of Romans. And in Romans chapter 1, it talks about these people. I'll not turn there for time. But it talks about the characteristics of the godless world. They don't like to retain God in their knowledge. And the Bible says they're filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, and then on and on the list goes. But one of the things is covetousness. So it was true back in the Old Testament.
It's true today that people are given to covetousness or greed. Greed is prominent when people do not love God or obey God. And greed will lead you to other sins that you'll commit in order to get what you want. And we all know that's true. Greedy people will lie to get what they want. Greedy people will cheat to get what they want. Greedy people will steal. Greedy people will be hypocrites. You've known some hypocrites like that. You know, on the outward you think, wow, these are really good religious people. And then you find out what they did. I mean, I find that out about people who are, you think they're such great people, and then you realize they cheat their brother or their sister out of an inheritance, or they go against their mom and dad just for money, just for money. And greedy people do terrible things. It leads to other sins. But it's not only greed for possessions, it's also greed for power. And there's greed for power today. Politicians will lie, cheat, steal, bribe, and even murder. It would surprise us, probably, some of the politicians who've had people killed to get what they want. They want more power, they want to get power, and then they want more power, and they want to keep their power, and they'll do whatever they want to that they can to get it. A good example is Pilate in the New Testament. It says in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, Pilate sought to release Jesus. Now, that was a good thing. He's going to let Jesus go. He didn't really want Jesus to go on trial. He wanted to let him go until he heard something. And it says, but the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. And then it said, when Pilate heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat. He realized that they were going to say some bad things about him, that he wasn't Caesar's friend. And Caesar was the one to determine that he could have his power. And oh, what, he wasn't going to do that. He'd let Jesus die before he'd do that. He was greedy of power. And so some people are greedy of power. Some people are greedy of fleshly desires. That's why the Lord says in Exodus, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. So it's not just possession of things, but fleshly desires. He said, don't covet your neighbor's wife. And some people are greedy, you know. They have a wife, but they want somebody else's too. Or they want several. And so they're greedy. You can be greedy of different things. Let's look at the Bible for some examples this morning of greedy people. I go in the Bible with some of these we mentioned last week under selfishness. But as in the Bible, we find Achan. Achan was found in Joshua chapter 7. You remember they fought the battle of Jericho. And they won. And God said, you're not to take anything from Jericho. It's all dedicated unto the Lord. And it's called the accursed thing. So no gold and silver and clothes or anything you're to take from Jericho. It's all set aside for the Lord. And so Achan heard that, but he decided he was going to disobey the Lord. And so he took, the Bible says that he said it himself. He said, I saw, I coveted, I took, and then I hid. Well, he was a greedy person. It wasn't enough for him to be in the army of God. It wasn't enough for him to follow the great leader Joshua and to have the promise that the God was going to give them this brand new land. All they had to do was wait and God was going to bless them. That wasn't good enough. And he was greedy, and Achan is an example of that. Gehazi is another example. In 2 Kings chapter 5, you remember the story. It's the story of Elisha and then Naaman. And you remember Naaman was the Syrian general who had leprosy. And the king of Syria wanted his general to be healed. And so he heard about Elisha, and so he sent a letter to Elisha. And he said to Elisha, you know, if you'll just heal my servant, then I will give you some things. He said, I will give you 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. I did some study on that to see how much money that was. Was that tempting? Well, the silver, scholars tell us that amount of silver equaled 12,000 ounces of silver. At today's value, and I looked it up yesterday, silver is going for $17.22 an ounce. And so at today's value, that would mean the silver alone was worth $206,640. He also said there was 6,000 pieces of gold. Scholars tell us that that was 2,400 ounces of gold. Yesterday's gold prices were $1,270.08 an ounce for gold And that would be an equivalent today of $3,048,192. In other words, a total, this man offered Elisha of $3,254,838 for if you would just heal Naaman. What did Elisha do? Elisha said, I don't want your money. I don't want your money. Now let me ask you, if you had the power to heal somebody and somebody offered you $3 million, would you take it? Well, he didn't. That shows us Elisha was a great man of God. But he had a servant. His name was Gehazi. Gehazi heard that. He probably scratched his head and thought, Elisha, we could use that money. And so when Elisha wasn't watching and didn't know, he thought, he decided to go after this guy. And so after Naaman was healed and everything and went on his way, taking back all this gold and silver and the changes of garments and all that, he was taking it all back. And Gehazi ran after him. And he came up to him and he told him a lie. In fact, there's several lies. He said, my master hath sent me. That was a lie. You see, greed will cause you to do other things. And lying is one of them. My master has sent me saying, two young men of the sons of the prophets have come, and I want you to give them, not me, but, give them. There's two young, well, there weren't two young men for one thing. There's another lie. He said, I want you to give me some things for them. A talent of silver and two changes of raiment. You know, give both of them a change of clothes and give me a talent of silver and I'll break it up between them. And the guy said, well, okay, I'll be glad to do that. But here, take two talents of silver and two changes of raiment. Well, so Gehazi went off with that thinking he was really getting something. Well, you know what happened. He had the leprosy that had been on Naaman. It was transferred to Gehazi, and he became a leper. But the Bible says that he took that money and he hid it, thinking he'd get by with it. Well, how much did the money that he took equal? Well, I figured that up by today's prices, and it totals $41,328. So Gehazi got quite a stash of money. He was a greedy person. Then there's other examples in the Bible. There's an example, of greed for fleshly desires, and David's the example. And find the account in 2 Samuel chapter 11. David saw Bathsheba bathing, and you remember he lusted after her. And the first thing he did after he sent to find out who she was. And the word came back, that's Uriah's wife. One of your men that fight for you, that's out on the battlefield now, that's Uriah's wife. It didn't matter to David because he was greedy of sexual desire. And so he said, well, send for Uriah. And so Uriah comes. And he says, Uriah, tell me how the battle's going. So he told him how the battle was going. And he says, okay, you can go back now, but before you do, just go on home to your wife, trying to cover up this sin. Uriah was a godly man. He had more integrity than David did at that time, and Uriah said no. And so he slept with the other men outside, the other guys there, and he wouldn't go home. So David said, found out he didn't go home, and he said, why didn't you go home? He said, my buddies are out there on the battlefield. I can't go and enjoy my wife and spend some time of leisure with her and them out on the battlefield. No, I'm not going to go. And David said, okay, well, tomorrow you'll go back. But that night, David got him drunk, trying to get him to go back to his wife drunk. He was still a man of integrity. He wouldn't do it. And so, you remember, he sent him back, and he sent his death note by Uriah himself. He wrote a letter to the general, and he said, you put Uriah on the forefront of the battle where everything's really tough and where it's really hot, they're fighting really bad, and when you get him up there, then you back off from him and let him be killed. So Uriah took his own death note and gave it to the general, and he did what he said, and Uriah was killed. Now, why did David do that? Greed. Greed. He wasn't satisfied. He had to have someone else's wife. And the Bible says, covet not thy neighbor's wife. And then there's other examples in the Old Testament. Absalom. You remember the story of Absalom in 2 Samuel chapter 15 through chapter 17 tells a story. The background is that Absalom had a half-brother. His name was Amnon. And Amnon raped Absalom's sister, Tamar. And Absalom was very disturbed and very angry, and he set out to kill him, but he didn't want to let him know it. And so he figured out and let it go for a while, and he arranged for Amnon to go with him, and then he arranged for some guys to come on Amnon and kill him, and they did, and Amnon was killed. David found out about it, and of course Absalom was scared, and he ran off, and he ran away, and he was gone for 3 years. And finally, they talked David into having Absalom come back. And so Absalom came back to Jerusalem, but David didn't see him for 2 more years, so 5 years. So 5 years, separation from his son Absalom. And then finally, David has Absalom come in, and David hugs him and kisses him and seems like he's forgiven and everything, and everything's back to normal. But that wasn't enough for Absalom, because Absalom was greedy of power. And he thought, I've got to have my dad's throne. And so he set out a rebellion. He got all these men and people to follow him. And it got so bad that David had to flee from Jerusalem. And Absalom was taking over the city and becoming the king. And it was really bad. But you remember what happened? Absalom ended up being killed. And he suffered for what he wanted. But Absalom was willing to kill his own dad because of his greed for power. Greed is a terrible thing. Then I think of the rich fool that the Bible mentions in Luke chapter 12. We referred to him in the end of the message last week. Because of covetousness, the Bible, the Lord said, because of covetousness, beware of covetousness, he says, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Beware of covetousness, because life isn't really centered around things you possess. It won't make you happy, in other words. Beware of covetousness. And then he told a parable about a man who was rich. And his ground brought forth plentifully. And he said, what am I going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build greater, and I'll fill those barns up, and I'll say to my soul, soul, take thou ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. It's all about me. It's all what I want. And I just want more and more and more. And the Bible says that the Lord said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be? That man never considered that God made the ground that brought forth plentifully. Never considered that God made the seed. Never considered that God sent the rain and God made the sun shine on his crops. That he owed everything to God. But he wasn't interested in God or anybody else. He was only interested in himself. And he died. And he didn't have any of that afterwards. Because when you die, you leave it all. Then I think of another example of greed. And it's the multitude of people from the Gadarenes. We find the account in Luke chapter 8. It's that man, that maniac of Gadara, we call him. I call it the worst case scenario in the New Testament. He was bad. The Bible gives a description of him. He says he was a man possessed with many demons, legions of them, 3,000 or more demons. And he wore no clothes, so he went around and he lived in the tombs. And he went around in those tombs and he was so fierce, the Bible says, he was exceeding fierce, Matthew's gospel tells us. And that they would try to chain him, and they would chain him with chains or fetters, they would bind him with chains or fetters. And then he was so strong because of the demon possession, he would break those chains and fetters, and he was a wild man. But you remember what happened? He met the Lord one day, and the Lord cast out all those demons. And the man was found seated at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. You know, when you're in the right mind, you'll put your clothes on. But he was clothed and in his right mind. And the Bible says that the Gadarenes were upset. I mean, here's a man who had been troubling them. They tried to chain him and they couldn't chain him. He would break those chains and he was exceeding fierce and they were afraid of him. But they weren't really concerned about him Because the Lord cast those demons, and Mark's gospel tells us there were 2,000 pigs, 2,000 swine. And the Lord cast those demons in those swine, as I've said on different occasions, those were the first deviled hams. And they ran down that hillside, and they ran into the lake, and they were choked. They died. And the Gadarenes, the Bible says the whole city, and then another gospel says the multitudes of the Gadarenes, not only in the city, but all around about it, came to see Jesus. And guess what they told him? They said, "Get out of here. Get out of here. We're afraid. We're afraid of what you're going to do." What were they afraid of? They were afraid that Jesus would maybe attack other things. He just killed 2,000 of their pigs, their business. Their business was more important to them than this guy who had been possessed with devils. It was more important to them than this man's family. And so greed caused them to be not concerned about anybody else, and it brought harm to everybody. And so greed is a very serious thing. In fact, greed in the Bible is said to be so serious, covetousness, that the Lord says in the Old Testament, that the spiritual leaders in the Old Testament were not to be greedy. You remember the account, it's about Moses. Moses was judging all these people, and you remember there were probably 2 million plus of the Israelites, and Moses was leading them. And Moses was the judge over them. Everybody would come to Moses for their problems, and they had a problem with somebody couldn't get along with somebody else, and they'd bring that to Moses. And Moses was doing all this, and his father-in-law, Jethro, came to see him. And Jethro said, "Moses, you can't hold up under this. This is too much. And you need to choose out men to help you." And here's the qualification that he gave. And Jethro counseled him to choose out men to help him judge, men who feared God, men who loved the truth, and men who hated covetousness. Men who hated covetousness. If you're going to be a spiritual leader, you've got to hate covetousness. I think it's significant in the New Testament. The Lord, in giving qualifications for pastors and deacons, he says the same thing to both of them. And he says this, if you're going to be a bishop, and the bishop is the pastor, the overseer, he says if you're going to be the pastor, then you have to be a person who's not greedy of filthy lucre. Now, we all know what that means. Greedy of money. And the word greedy there, I looked it up, and it's the word covetousness, or it's the word covetous with an A on the front, or the Greek letter A, and on the front of it, which negates it. In other words, it means not covetous. Not greedy is not covetous. And so a pastor cannot be greedy. You know, if you're a pastor, and I am a pastor, if I was greedy, I would disqualify myself from being a pastor. And I'm afraid there are a lot of people who disqualify themselves because they're greedy. But you know, the Lord says the same thing about deacons. If you're a deacon, you can't be greedy. Because the Lord says of deacons, here's one of their qualifications, not greedy of filthy lucre. Same thing. So let's consider some of the problems with greediness. What are some of the problems of being greedy? And I find these from the scriptures. I'd studied this subject and studied about covetousness and greediness. Here's some of the problems with being greedy. First of all, greed is disobedience to God. Now that should be enough. God says, "Thou shalt not covet." So you can't be greedy because that's disobeying God. Another problem is greed doubts that God will continue to provide. I find an example of this in the book of Exodus and the Israelites. You remember they were going through the wilderness, but the Lord provided for them. He made it so their shoes wouldn't wear out. He gave them quail to eat, and he gave them manna to eat. Manna was a bread, a type of bread. It was a small round thing that appeared on the ground in the morning that God put there. And they didn't grow it or anything like that. It was there. And they went out and picked it up. And God said, you can gather every day, you can gather an omer, a measure, an omer for each person. And so when you've gathered an omer for each person, let's say you have this family and they have mom and dad and four children, and so they need more, and maybe they didn't gather enough, but somebody else gathered a little bit more. Well, you take and give to them so that everybody has an omer apiece. And then the Lord said this, and don't you gather more and keep it till the morning. Don't you hoard it up and keep it till the morning, because if you do, it'll breed worms and stink. Well, guess what they did? They were greedy. And the Bible says some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. God's saying this, don't you be greedy. I'll provide, don't be greedy. So what does greed do? Greed causes you to doubt that God will provide. God said, I'll give it to you every day. And on the seventh day, I won't give it to you, but on the sixth day, I'll give you permission to gather up twice as much so you'll have enough for that Sabbath day. But they didn't think God would do it. And you know, sometimes people are that way. They're greedy. They just want more and more and more. Why? Because they can't trust God. They can't trust God to provide. And so they keep piling on and piling on, and they're greedy. Greed also restricts God's supply. The Bible says in Proverbs 19, verse 17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. So when you have pity upon the poor and you give to the poor, you're actually lending unto the Lord. And it says this, and that which he hath given will he repay him again. The Lord will give you back. The Lord says, you can trust me. But if you don't, if you're greedy, then you will stop God's provision and God's supply. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says this, give and it shall be given unto you. And the Lord's a good giver. And here's how he says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. You know, you don't take the measure and you fluff it up inside so it looks like a whole lot. No, you shake it down and you just make sure it's completely full and you let it run over. And the Lord says, that's the way I'll give to you. Shaken down and running over shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. You know, we find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, when the Lord's talking about giving. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he tells the people about giving to him. And he says in verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. So if you're greedy, what are you doing? You're keeping God's blessings from coming to you. But he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye having always having all sufficiency and all things may abound to every good work. So greed stops God's supply he wants to give you. God wants to bless, but greedy people think it's all up to them, and they'll hoard, and God says, if you just give, you'll be able to receive from the Lord. Another thing that greed does, and I like this, greed shortens your life. Did you know that? And I have no idea who's greedy. I have no idea. I imagine in a group like this, somebody is, but I have no idea. But I'll tell you this, if you're greedy, it'll shorten your life. The Lord says it like this in Proverbs 28, verse 16, he that hateth covetousness shall prolong his life. So the opposite would be true. If you love covetousness, if you're greedy, you're going to shorten your life. But if you hate covetousness, you'll prolong your life. Also, greed robs the quality of life. Luke 12, verse 15 says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that he possesseth. And so if you're going to be rich toward God, you're going to be able to enjoy your life. And so because enjoyment of life does not consist of all the things that you possess. And you notice, if you know of greedy people, you'll know this, they're not happy. They're not joyful. They don't share in others' blessings. They don't help bless other people. They're greedy. And greediness will rob you of the quality of life. Greed also takes you away from the Scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 36 says this, Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Incline mine heart to thy testimonies, the word of God, and not to covetousness. In other words, covetousness will keep you away from the word. In other words, if you're spending all of your time and energy and thought on just hoarding wealth and trying to get more and more, and that's all you think about, you don't want to read God's word. In fact, God's word will convict you, and you don't want that. And so covetousness will keep you away from the word of God. Also, greed dethrones God in your life and sets up the thing that you covet as your God. Colossians 3:8 says it like this: Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, that means evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness, which is idolatry. So why is greed bad? Well, greed sets up somebody else or something else as God other than God himself. Covetousness is idolatry. So if you're always wanting more for yourself and you just hold on to what you have and you're not willing to give and bless anybody else, then you're a greedy person. And the Lord says that money has become your God. And God is not your God. You're counting on the money to provide your needs. You're counting on the money to give you comfort. You're counting on the money to give you security. And the Lord says, I'll give you all that. I want to be your God. But you set money as your God, and the Lord says, it'll not work. It never will. Also, greed leads to other sins. Micah chapter 2 illustrates that. It says this: Woe unto them that devise iniquity and work evil thoughts upon their beds. So, you know, they're laying on their bed thinking about evil things they can do. When the morning is light, they practice it, what they've been thinking about, because it is in the power of their hand to do it. They can do it. Why? They say, why do you do that? Well, because I can. You know, I've come up with these things. And then it says this: they covet fields and take them by violence. Covetousness leads to other things. I said it earlier in the message. Covetousness will make you lie. Greediness will make you cheat, steal, threaten people, be angry, be wrathful, and covetous will even cause people to kill people because they want things. So covetousness or greed, it will not remain alone itself. It'll cause you to do other things as well. And then another thing about greed is greed denies the obvious. Numbers 32, verse 23 says this: But if ye will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. He's talking to the 2.5 tribes, Reuben, Gad, and half tribe of Manasseh, who promised they would go over and help the other children of Israel as they going into the promised land. The Lord says, if you don't, then he says this: Be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. And greed denies the obvious, and that is, we know by examples in the scripture and in life, greed never works. Greed never makes you happy. It's very obvious, but greed denies the obvious. Galatians chapter 6, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. You know, I've known of people who, because of their greed, they cheat their family, they hurt other people, and I think, don't you know that you're going to reap what you sowed? You know, if you don't want your children to treat you disrespectfully, don't you treat your parents disrespectfully. If you don't want your children to rob from you, then don't you rob from other people. If you don't want your children to be cranky and unloving and ungiving and not joyful, then don't you be the kind of person that actually reaps that, because you'll reap what you sow. But greed denies the obvious. Illustrations all around, but greed says, no, I'll get by. Proverbs 15, verse 27, the verse we read to begin with, says this: He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. If you're a parent and you're greedy, your kids will suffer. The troubles your own house. And greed does that. The Lord gave a warning in the book of James about rich people who are greedy. He says, "Go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered. The rest of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who hath reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth." In other words, a man has somebody working for him. He doesn't treat him right. He gets the benefit of his labor. He gets rich because this man worked for him, but he cheats him, and he won't give him an honest wage. And the Lord says, "I hear that." As those people, those workers are complaining about their boss, I hear their complaints. And the Lord says, "I will take care of it. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanton, and ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." But the Lord says this, "Go to now, ye rich men. It's coming upon you." And so the Lord says, be sure your sin will find you out. And then one last thing I want to mention that the Bible mentions about greed. And that's found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. And it's this, greed keeps you from loving and serving God. If you're a greedy person, you're not loving and serving the Lord. Here's the way it states it, Matthew 6, verse 19. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For the light of the body is in the eye, and therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" And then he sums it up in verse 24, and he says this, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will love the one, or either he will hate the one, love the other, or else he will hold to the one, despise the other." Then he says this, "You cannot serve God and mammon." You cannot serve God and mammon. So what's the problem with greed? Well, greed will keep you from loving God and serving Him, because you can't do both. You can't serve money and just think it's all about the money and be greedy and covetous. You can't do that, because that will affect you and you'll not be able to serve God and love Him. Well, I hope we as Christians know this lesson. And I hope none of us will be considered greedy people. But if you're here today and never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you know the devil is telling you a lie. And that is, he's saying, this being a Christian, trusting Jesus, living for Him, that's not important. What's important is you go to school, you get an education so you can make a lot of money and you save for retirement and nothing wrong with any of that. And it's all about you and your family and what you can leave them. And it's all about you. And that's the most important thing. And there's people who are well-respected, very educated, have respectable lives and all of that. And they teach their children that the most important thing is to accumulate wealth. And they make them rich, maybe. But then they die like the rich man who fared sumptuously every day, and then he died and lifted up his eyes in torment. If you don't trust Jesus for what he did for you on the cross of Calvary, then you've believed the lie of the devil and thought that things would satisfy you. As the Lord says, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? I hope that we'll trust Jesus, that we'll live for Him, we'll love Him, and we'll take what He gives us and be stewards of it and use it to bless other people as well as meet our own needs, because God wants us to do that. Let's pray. Father, thank You today for teaching us about greed. Lord, we don't want to be greedy, because the Scripture tells us that there's a lot of problems with greed. Lord, help us to be people who love You. And I know many times, Lord, People who love you and serve you are blessed tremendously. And there's some very rich people who love you and serve you. And you use those people to bless others. You use those people, Lord, to meet needs that are prevalent in churches and works that are serving you. And Lord, you're not opposed to people having money, but you are opposed to money having people. I pray that you'd help us to realize that greed will destroy us, and may we never be given to greed. We thank you in Jesus' name.